This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to The Kevin Kelly Show, exclusively here on placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. And now here's your host, the voice of Ring of Honor, Mr. Kevin Kelly. When you're
on a holiday, you can't. Well, what's going on this week?
Let's see, we had April Fool's. Little hint of spring. I don't have much on my calendar this weekend. Oh, wait a minute! It's WrestleMania! Better believe it, it's the busiest wrestling weekend of the year. What's up, everybody? It's Kevin Kelly, and this is the Kevin Kelly Show here on the Place to Be Nation. I want to welcome you in. Another great episode coming this way, episode number 6. I want to thank the guys keeping the show on the air, Dan McGinn and producer Justin Rosero, who we'll hear from later on. This week, two big special guests, and all about finishing strong, overcoming adversity, and making sure that no matter what they say, you're going to keep fighting and you're going to keep pushing through because you want to finish strong. We're going to talk to one man that you probably know and have seen, but may not have seen in a while and wondered what the hell ever happened to him. My second guest is probably somebody that you don't know and may have never even heard of, but you should. Both have remarkable stories. Both have overcome cancer, and both will be here on the Kevin Kelly Show to talk about their stories, to talk about what's next. My first guest is going to be the one-legged wonder himself, Zach Gowen, who many of you may remember from his feud in the WWE with Vince McMahon. And the one-legged wrestler that was here, he was on top, he was doing all these crazy things, and then he was gone, and it's like he fell off the face of the earth. Well, he crash-landed back to earth, actually. And he has a remarkable story about hitting the highest of highs and the lowest of lows, and then the road to redemption and what he's doing to walk it. And a new documentary that is charting his course called Finding Zach Gowen, which will be out on Friday, April the 4th. And then the wrestler that you have probably never heard of, but you should, and you will get to know soon, is a cancer survivor as well, just like Zach, who lost his leg to cancer when he was 8 years old. Well, my buddy Ashley Six is going to join us. He's the second guest on the show. And Ashley's wrestling career, great friends with Michael Elgin, and I got to know him through Ring of Honor. And he came to a tryout camp, and he killed it. And he was actually about ready to get started working here with the company. And when all of a sudden, first it was injury, we thought, and then it was illness, and then it turned out to be cancer. And so Ashley Six is going to be here to talk about the fact that not only has he survived all of these things, but he's coming back from cancer and he's going to get back in the ring. And it all begins with a special fundraising charity show that he's doing in a couple of weeks up in Toronto. Ashley Six is somebody that you haven't heard of more than likely, but you will, and you will get to know him. And of course, we're going to revisit with an old friend, Zach Gowen, here. Two interviews this week on episode 6 of the Kevin Kelly Show. So it's the biggest week of the wrestling year. It is WrestleMania. And it is, man, it's just going to be jam-packed. It's going to be awesome. There, you know, all the speculation about Daniel Bryan and what they're going to do and zada, zada, zada. Here are the two things. Two moments you must have. You must have The Undertaker win, and you must have Daniel Bryan become the WWE champion. You do that, you're all set. You do anything less than that, you're leaving money on the table. And it's not my money. Vince, I'm not telling you how to run your business. You do anything you want to do. But I'm telling you that's what you need to do. It really is. It's a huge, huge weekend for wrestling. And regardless of whether those two things happen, think about what it means for the economy of New Orleans, man. There are tons of people pouring down there. And I would love it if we could do like a Radio Row thing. Imagine that. That would be sweet. We could be there all week. We could have guests and we could have talk and we could speculate and, you know, commiserate about WrestleMania's past and this one this year and blah, blah, blah. And we could talk about Ring of Honor and what we got going on with Supercard of Honor. at the Ilario Center Friday night. Big ladder war with Thadab Cole and Jay Briscoe. We're going to finally settle it. There could be only one Ring of Honor champion, and that'll be done this Friday night. Ladder war, Thadab Cole, Jay Briscoe. And there's going to be a huge crowd on hand for that. And then Saturday, big national television taping as well. And there's some good seats remaining for Saturday. A lot of people come down there. They make plans for certain things. And then when something really grabs their eye the first time, they decide, that's what I want to do. So I think there'll be a real strong walk-up crowd on Saturday in the New Orleans area for Ring of Honor. So what about WrestleMania? What makes this one special? What makes this one key? I'll give you two things. First of all, this is critical for this success of WrestleMania. Is this going to be Vince McMahon's last hurrah, shall we say? Vince, there was some speculation. I read a couple of articles this week. You know, he's doing some more press and it's around the network and he's doing everything he can to try to pump that up. That's his big thing. One of the articles, I think it was reported in the Variety or Esquire, it said that the WWE Network might be Vince's last hurrah, that he might be birthing this baby as best he can, and then once that's done, that's going to be it for him. Now, I don't know whether that's internal or external. I think it may just be even speculation on the part of the reporter. I'm not sure. But I know when I was there, we were always very particular once the company went public to make sure we didn't do anything that would potentially spook the stock market if we did something to Vince. If we drop Vince off into a shark tank, we better know how he's going to get out, even on television, even the character. Because, yeah, sure, it's a stunt. It's television. It's a stunt. Wait, is Vince okay? Because trust me, anytime anything bad would happen, and I'm not talking about, tragedies. I'm talking about, like, wrestling storylines. Trust me, the phone at Titan Towers would ring off the hook. And stock market people ain't that much brighter. So they might be selling their stock thinking Vince got dropped into a shark tank or whatever it is that Vince Russo would have thought of. So this might be Vince's last hurrah. And the other thing is, man, there's a lot riding on the line in terms of the network itself and WrestleMania. I talked to a buddy of mine. I'll give you for example. This is the first one where they're really kind of putting a lot onto the network as far as WrestleMania. My buddy, Ed Condra, you get a shout out, Eddie. What's up? I used to go over to Eddie's house and watch all the pay-per-views, but not all the pay-per-views. Usually it was just Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, and had a party and a lot of fun. It was a great time. So I texted him. I said, are you watching it on pay-per-view or do you have the network? He says, no, I got the network. Fingers crossed. I think a lot of people are going to be watching WrestleMania on the network, fingers crossed, because you can't turn away from the bargain. It's $10 versus whatever it is, $60, if your cable operator, your satellite provider still offers it. And I think most of them do. But anyway, people are going to go that cheap route and they're going to watch it, fingers crossed. Well, a lot of people internally are watching it, fingers crossed as well. A lot of people within the WWE are wishing, hoping, and praying that this thing goes without a hitch. Because this is what the future is. Vince is all in on the network. He's really, there've been reports all week. I saw this on WrestleZone that there were, they're having meetings and trying to figure out ways of making this thing like a 24/7 experience throughout Mania Week. And with Vince at the helm and really driving a lot of the creative behind it, but needing ideas. And so they're trying to do more stuff to make it more live and more interactive. And that's Vince's thing, man. He loves all that live stuff. Then he loses his attention span and he's on to something else. But at least for now, his attention span is focused all on the network. But there is a huge risk because financially, they are putting all of their financial eggs in the WrestleMania basket. They do this every year. And now with it really being on the model towards the network, is there a risk of you can't say financial, you don't even want to say risk when it comes to financial stuff with the WWE because they have such deep pockets, they can afford to make a mistake. They can afford a misstep. But they're leveraging a lot here with Mania and this network. That would just scare me to death. I don't know. I would just be afraid it would crap out and that would be it. Man, it would break my heart. I wouldn't know what to do. So luckily, it's not my problem. But there's a lot riding on this. So Vince's last Mania or Vince's last Mania. Vince's last hurrah is this network, and is this WrestleMania thing for real on the network? Is this will they be able to get back in the good graces of the cable and satellite folks if this doesn't go well? You know, and that's kind of the thing. You know, but still, let's compare apples to apples here. Ring of Honor is not at the level financially of WWE. But it's important that WWE have that good, strong customer service experience for the fans, for the network. Because if you look, they need 1 million subscribers to break even. And if they make 2 million, if they get to 2 million subscribers, they make $50 million. And if they get to 3 million subscribers, it's $100 million, whatever the numbers are. But they got to get to 1 million just to break even. So if they're aggravating everybody now, and from all accounts, the network is unbelievably popular. I have yet to subscribe to it only because of time. It's not because of a lack of interest, and you certainly can't beat the price. And I'm not here to shill for them, because I'm sure that everybody that's listening to this is either already a subscriber or is thinking about it. And the content that they are delivering, for the old time fan like me, forget about it. You know, if fans want to send, I think eventually they're going to need to, because they're going to exhaust that library and they're going to want to say, okay, what's next? What's new? And they're going to want new stuff. So they got to have the new stuff up. But at the same time, all these live shows and all these big things that they want to do have got to work. NXT had a couple of hiccups and bubbles, but it was all right. You know, everybody got through it. Certainly the match quality was off the charts. And boy, WrestleMania's got to work for them. It really, really, really has to work. So obviously with WrestleMania as the topic of the day, what are some of your big WrestleMania moments? What are your favorite moments? I have two standout things that I want to talk about. And it was sort of my evolution with the company, the time when I started versus the time where I was almost done. And I started in June of 1996. So they had just done WrestleMania 12. My first WrestleMania was WrestleMania 13. I had been with the company 10 months or so, 9.5 months before my first WrestleMania. It was in Rosemont at the Horizon, the Allstate Arena. And, you know, so outside Chicago, we fly to O'Hare, but it felt like a Raw. And I remember saying that to Michael Hayes. This is WrestleMania, huh? Yep. Why does this feel like a Raw to me? I don't know. Just does. It didn't seem special. It didn't seem big. It didn't seem like the granddaddy of them all. It didn't seem like the Super Bowl of wrestling. It didn't seem like what it is. And punctuated by one of the best matches in WrestleMania history, Bret Hart and Stone Cold Steve Austin. I don't remember much else from that show, other than the French announce team, which sat at ringside for WrestleMania, was almost choked to death by they had that Chicago street fight with the Nation against the, JR, it's one of your favorite matchups of all time. You love this thing, right?
The Nation of Domination versus Legion of Doom and Ahmed?
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed that match.
And the fire extinguishers that they used were not the CO2 variety, but they were actually the chemical kind.
Oh, geez.
Whoops. So, of course, it sprays and goes off, and the big cloud of dust goes over to the French announce team. So while Ray Rougeau and his broadcast partner, I can't remember his name, but he was a very nice man, are talking, and that was it. And it was coughing and choking, and they almost were in the past tense, as it were. So that was kind of scary. But yeah, other than Austin and Bret, it was an okay show, but it certainly wasn't what WrestleMania had become. Then, fast forward, now we get to the Houston Astrodome. We get to Rock versus Stone Cold Steve Austin in 2001. So now I have been with the company 5+ years, almost 6. And what a difference. It didn't feel like a Raw. Not at all. 72,000 fans or whatever the number was. I don't even know. I don't even care. Man, that place was packed. It was awesome. The Astrodome was great. Big, huge. This is what it was. This is what it felt like. This was the culmination of all the work that had been done since Stone Cold Steve Austin became Stone Cold and The Rock became The Rock. This was the blow-off. This was it. And it didn't get any bigger than that for those two ever again, as far as their rivalry, as far as them fighting over the title. So those are my two personal favorites. And I know everybody has WrestleMania favorites. Share some of them throughout the rest of this week and the weekend at Real Kevin Kelly on Twitter. And I'll enjoy reading them, of course, because I got some traveling to do. I'm going to be heading down to New Orleans early Friday morning for the big show, Supercard of Honor, the big doubleheader. We've got Friday night and then Saturday afternoon television. That's going to be a lot of fun. So the topic, of course, of WrestleMania and the biggest weekend of the year. This is the time where WWE needs to make it happen. I believe they will. I believe in the technology. I think this is going to work. From all indications, they're all in on this. The cable operators, the satellite providers are praying that it doesn't work. But I think this is going to work. I think this is Vince's last big gamble, let's say. And if he can pull this off, as I started to say earlier, is this Vince's last hurrah? I think he can ride off into the sunset knowing that he did a great job, that he did, you know, everything that he did in his career, the ups, the downs, the whatever you think of him, love him, hate him, love him as a performer. I always had great respect for him. If this network thing takes off as big as they are hoping that it does, man, oh man, then Vince's legacy is complete. And good luck to Triple H and Stephanie, who are filling those shoes. So that's, of course, WrestleMania this Sunday. I don't need to plug that. Our guests are going to be Zach Gowen, former WWE superstar, who has a documentary made about him, which is fantastic. And we're going to talk to Ashley Six, wrestling coming back from cancer in Canada. He's got a big event coming up on the 13th. So, but let's talk about what is new in Ring of Honor. And there are some great, what you need to do is you need to go to placetobenation.com because there are a couple of great pieces about Ring of Honor. I know Stephen J. Sutton does a big write-up there, big newswire type thing. And JR, what's the gentleman who wrote that other article?
Mr. Matt Davis, longtime PTB Nation member, and as this is his first piece he wrote for the website.
So we'll make sure that Jared, do me a favor and make sure I have that link so that I'll tweet it out to everybody after I get done with this. So and great stuff, guys, and thank you so much for writing about Ring of Honor. I'm saying this from somebody on the inside, and I am not a cheerleader. Okay, I am a realist. When business is bad, I'm going to say it needs to improve. When business is good, I'm going to say business is good. Business to the point right now of Ring of Honor, I have a feeling. I have a feeling in my gut that it's getting ready to pop. And when I say pop, I mean big things. I don't mean WWE big, but I think much bigger than what Ring of Honor has experienced with in the 12 years now of the company. In its 13th year. That's what I think is going to happen. That's just my gut, man. Everything has been really clicking. And it can, don't get me wrong, it can go pretty quickly because look how quickly the wheels fell off for the WWE. The end of the Attitude Era, if you will, and the failed invasion, and they turn Stone Cold, and Rock goes to Hollywood to make movies, and then they're having cutback meetings and no profitability and no profit sharing. That's how quickly it can happen. So, but for what's going on with Ring of Honor right now, everything is very good. We have two huge events this weekend. And go to ROHWrestling.com for all the information. Supercard of Honor. The main event is Ladder War. Adam Cole, the Ring of Honor world champion. Jay Briscoe believes he is the real world champion. Both men have their own title belts. Both titles will be in New Orleans. They're going to be put above the ring, and there is going to be a Ladder War. It is the most brutal match that you'll see in Ring of Honor. This will be the fifth one in company history, and why don't they do more of them? Well, because they have never, guys that are in ladder war are never the same. They're never the same. So there can be only one. There can be only one champion. Will it be Adam Cole? Will it be Jay Briscoe? We know there's no disqualification match, and we know that there is going to, and that's involving Michael Bennett and Mark Briscoe, plus Roderick Strong against Cedric Alexander. There's going to be all kinds of great, great matchups this weekend. And I'm pulling up the card now because my memory is failing me as I'm sitting here doing this show. Isn't this fun? Hey, JR.
Yes, sir.
You have the card for Friday night?
I have part of the card here. Ciampa versus Lethal.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's the one. Ciampa and Lethal. 2 out of 3 falls for the television title. That is going to be something else. Think about this, what those two guys went through and what they do. The last time they met, 2 out of 3 falls, and Ciampa, 30 seconds into the match, blew out his knee. And there you go. So, anyway, there is a lot going on with Ring of Honor. We've got a big television taping coming up on Saturday as well. It's all in New Orleans. It is all about Ring of Honor this weekend, part of the festivities of the WrestleMania weekend. It's the biggest weekend of the wrestling year. And right now, let's go to my good friend, my producer, Justin Rosero, to tell us where you can find The Kevin Kelly Show.
You can find The Kevin Kelly Show in the following ways: by visiting PleaseToBeNation.com, clicking the Kevin Kelly Show banner, or the PTBN podcast banner on the right-hand side. You can subscribe to the Place to Be podcast feed in iTunes, or you can visit Stitcher.com, subscribe to the Place to Be podcast there. Finally, you can download Place to Be Nation podcast app by going to placetobe.podbean.com/mobile on your iPhone or iPad. Be sure to also follow us on Twitter at @Place2BNation and @RealKevinKelly, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/placetobenation. If you have any questions or suggestions for the show, email us at kevinkellyshow@placetobenation.com or tweet us using #AskKevin with a capital A and 2 K's capitalized in the middle.
All right, that is where you can find The Kevin Kelly Show. We got two great guests coming up here in the hour. We're going to be talking to both Zach Gowen. We'll talk to Ashley Six. We're going to have some games and some fun. It is the biggest weekend of the wrestling year, and you're in the right place. That's right here on the Place to Be Nation and the Kevin Kelly Show. Stand by. We got interviews coming up next.
I am Justin Rosero. This is your Wrestling News Flash, brought to you exclusively by WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. Monday's episode of Raw was scored a 3.14 cable TV rating, up from last week's 3.07. The go-home show for WrestleMania 30 averaged 4.39 million viewers. Raw ranked number one in overall viewers on cable TV Monday night. Hulk Hogan spoke with Yahoo about how he'd like to induct Mr. T to the Hall of Fame and even joked how he'd get into a fight with Roddy Piper over it. The Hulkster also credited T for shifting the business towards entertainment. It wasn't easy for him. He was like walking into a lion's den, Hogan said. And there were a lot of people like Piper and Orndorff who wanted to hurt him. They did not dig the fact that an actor was coming into their business, and it was a transition period, and T was mostly responsible for the entertainment transition. WWE Hall of Famer Howard Finkel celebrating his 34th year of employment with the WWE today. He tweeted, "Today I celebrate my 34th year of employment with WWE. It's been a heck of a ride, and to this day I remain thankful for the opportunity." NOLA.com, N-O-L-A, has an article up with Jim Ross predicting some of the WrestleMania 30 matches. Ross picked AJ Lee and the Usos to retain their titles. Big Show to win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal and the Shield to defeat Kane and the New Age Outlaws. Finally, are CM Punk and AJ Lee now engaged? According to Figure Four Weekly Online, the rumors of Punk and AJ getting engaged are 100% true. No wedding date has been set, but AJ Lee is reportedly moving into Punk's Chicago home. There's been buzz backstage in the locker room for close to a week now that Punk and Lee got engaged in the last 10 days. News of the engagement has been discussed on Twitter since then, but without any sort of formal acknowledgement, they were dismissed as rumors. That is until Monday, when AJ wrestled a Raw with a pretty large diamond on her finger. Once again, visit our good friends at WrestleChat.net each and every day for the latest news, in-depth features, and the Still Real to Us podcast. More of The Kevin Kelly Show, including a visit from Zach Gowen and Ashley Six after this break.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling. Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans are wrestling off.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for the show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of wrestling. You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vanderberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
I need your understanding. I need your love.
We're back on the Kevin Kelly Show, and we have two great guests this week on this edition. Later on in the show, we're going to talk to Ashley Six, who is making his way back from overcoming cancer and is getting back in the ring very soon. But, you know, a good friend of mine is our first guest here this week, and there is a fantastic new DVD out that is all about his life and his career. And like I'd said, you probably haven't heard of Ashley Six, but you will soon. And my guest here is probably somebody that you have heard of and you're going to see a lot more of in the near future, and that's Zach Gowen. Zach, welcome to the Kevin Kelly Show, my friend. How are you?
Mr. Kelly, thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me on. It's certainly a pleasure to speak to you. You have the inspirational hour today, I think, with me and Mr. Ashley Six.
You know, and that was one of the things that we were talking about was, you know, the theme of this podcast, because when I started, well, I didn't want to just do another wrestling podcast where we interview wrestlers and we talk about wrestling and what they saw on Raw this week, you know. So the theme that I came up with was really, it spoke to my heart, and that is finish strong. And the idea of what are you doing in your life to make sure that you finish strong? Everything that you've done in the past is in the past, and we could keep moving forward, and we have to finish strong. So that was why you two guys were perfect inspirational stories for me to have, which perfectly fits into the theme of the show. So thank you for being an inspirational story, Zach Gowen. Thank you for your part.
Well, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'd like to, well, first I want to thank God. I want to thank my parents.
That's it, right?
For giving me the, exactly. And I think it's awesome that you have this theme for your podcast. Any type of positivity that we're throwing out through the airwaves or the internet, or whatever it may be, I think it's, especially in this day and age, I think it's needed. I certainly appreciate it.
Well, coming up this Friday is a really big day for you, because it's the official release date. You'll be able to get on DVD and digital download a documentary called Finding Zach Gowen. And it'll be available at joedombrowski.com or in other locations as well. And we're going to make sure that we tell everybody where to get this. But tell me about the journey, because, you know, when you get involved in a project like this and you start and you say, okay, yeah, I'll sit down, I'll do some interviews, I'll talk about my life and my career. Did you learn anything about yourself, Zach, in these stories, in what we find in this documentary? What did you learn about yourself?
Absolutely. And it was quite the process to make this. And, it's quite scary. And it's quite challenging to bare your soul, completely for the whole world to see. And what I found out is that I tend to think that my life is kind of boring because I lived it. You know, I'm myself, fortunately or unfortunately, depending how you look at it, I'm myself 24 hours a day. I am who I see in the mirror every single morning. So to me, the fact that I'm still alive is pretty cool, and I've led a pretty cool life. But when you put it on tape and you play it back straight through, and I see people's reaction to have seen it, and I hear people's reaction to are actually making the documentary, I realize how much of a gift it is to be able to share my story, you know, with the hopes of planting, you know, some kind of seed of inspiration or hope for somebody who's going through a struggle or a hard time, because I've certainly experienced my fair share of struggles and obstacles and hard times.
You have been the epitome of peaks and valleys, the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. I can't think of anybody that I've ever met in my whole life, Zach, that has faced the challenges that you have faced and yet have enjoyed tremendous success and have fallen again, only to pull yourself back up and to be on the track to success again. It is a remarkable story, your life.
Well,
I'm very proud of you.
I think
you're awesome. I think you're absolutely awesome.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate that very much. And here's how I see it, right? In my story, there's different pillars, you know, from my dad taking off when I was 4 years old, you know, he made a decision. He decided that drugs and alcohol were going to be more important to his life than raising a son. Right. That happened at 4. Then at 8 years old, I get diagnosed with cancer at 8. And then I lose my leg. And then at 18, I become the world's first one-legged professional wrestler. Then at 19, sign a 3-year contract at WWE. Then they get fired, and then the fall from grace and search for the answer in drugs and alcohol, and you know, to end up spiritually and mentally bankrupt to you know, at 26 years old, and then, you know, have a spiritual intervention that sparked the flame that is in my soul that illuminates everyone I meet today. So it's quite the adventure, and here's how I see it. Right, I have every single reason in the world to sit at home, sit on my couch, not do a thing, and feel sorry for myself and just wallow and marinate in my self-pity. Or I can do something that benefits other people and in return benefits myself, and that's to get out there and do it. And whatever that it is, basically for me, it's just facing my fears and overcoming my fears. You know, whether that's through wrestling or through public speaking or through making a documentary, bearing my soul on my life story, whatever the platform is, just to do it. And that's how I choose to live my life today.
Well, you know, and again, that documentary is going to be available for DVD copies are going to be available to fans in New Orleans at both WrestleCon and the Mid-South Fan Fest. Then you'll also be able to download it as well at joe-dombrowski.com. And so you make sure you see that. What motivates you? What inspires you currently? What gets you off your seat? And because I know that I started this journey myself, and I find things, man, just the simplest things can fire me up. What are some of the things that really turn the screws for Zach Allen and get you up off the couch?
Well, here's the thing, and here is my sole purpose of existence, I believe, is to be of maximum service to God and to the people around. Because when I am spiritually connected and I am of maximum service and I actively try to help people, right? That's when I experience the most relief from the chaos that goes on inside of my head. Because it's either you sit at home and marinate in the craziness that is in my head, or it's to take action and to help other people. There's not much middle ground for me. So when I actively engage in the solution, and that involves being of service to other people, that's what inspires me, and that's what fires me up. And it becomes like anything else. It's a snowball rolling down the hill, gaining momentum. And you know, it started at 26, and here I am. I just turned 31. You know, I'm engaged. I have a beautiful boy. He's going to turn 2 years old here in May. And I am of service to the people around me. And you know what? Life has never been better.
Well, that's a great testimony, of course, and I know I try to do my part, and I try to be of service to God as well, and you know, on my walk as well, and I try to guide a lot of people along, and I always liken it to, you know, sort of herding chickens or herding cats at other times, you know, because they really try to get away from you. But it's really about trying to inspire a lot of folks one at a time, and that can be exhausting. You know, that can sap you at times. I mean, do you find dilemmas sometimes when there might be joy? Do you find that, you know, to keep that motivation going, is it sometimes difficult?
Yes, and that's a very good point. And all I can do, I can't make anybody do anything. All I can do is present my experience, my strength, and my hope, and what I've been through, and that's it. And I'll leave the tools at your feet, and it's up to you to pick them up and to use them in your life. I'm only obligated to lay the tools down. But what's very important for me, and what you touched on, Kevin, is to keep balance. I have to keep balance between work, between recovery, between family, you know, maintaining relationships, and life is ever changing. I don't know, maybe it stops at a certain point, but for me, life changes seemingly every single day, and new challenges crop up, and new opportunities pop up, and as my good friend calls them, he calls challenges opportunities for growth. And I can
That's right.
certainly, and sometimes I don't want to hear that, you know.
Yeah,
but if I look back on it, I realize how miraculous it is that we're even having this conversation, and how grateful that I am to be in the place that I am now. Because it's so sad, man. You see so many guys, right, that
yep.
get fired from WWE, and they lose their identity, then they lose themselves in drugs and alcohol, and it's been a damn epidemic for the past 10, 15 years, with guys just dropping like flies. Guys that I've worked with. That I've known their families, you know, they just lose themselves. So to see, anybody kind of thrive outside of that bubble, to me, that's inspiring. You know, when I see guys like Mick Foley with a comedy career, or I see a guy like Coca Bandit with that punk rock, do-it-yourself attitude, you know, making his living, I love that stuff, man. And that stuff keeps me going, too.
Well, that, you know, and again, like you talked about that epidemic, I know you'll talk a lot about your personal, you know, the demons and what you overcame and everything in that documentary. But we got just a few minutes left, and I want to quickly go back to the start of the ride at 18 years old. And I know Truk Martini is featured in this as well, and he said so many kind words about you throughout the years. They must have just looked at you like you were from Mars when you came into that school, didn't they? I mean, this guy with one leg? This guy with one leg is going to be a professional wrestler. What is this world coming to?
It's never been done before. So if you present something to anybody, something that's never been done before, you're going to automatically get resistance. I think that's part of human nature. But thank God Truth was so open-minded. And he saw me right away. And he saw that I had a little bit of athletic ability. And he saw that I was getting beat up, but I kept coming back. In fact, I kept coming back every single day, and I would show up early and I would stay late. And he saw that determination and that willpower. And that really opened his mind to the possibility that I could have a pretty cool career. You know, thank God it was for, you know, I swear I came along at exactly the right time. Brooklyn Brawler said this to me when I was in WWE. We would travel together because we would fly back to Detroit all the time. He said to me, he goes, listen, if you came around 10 or 20 years earlier, Vince wouldn't even look at you. Like, there's no way that you would even have a job anywhere in wrestling, you know?
Right.
And so I came along at the right time. I had a certain sense of athletic ability, and I had a little bit of willpower and determination, a little bit of heart. And so it all kind of came together. And like you said, man, I'm the first one to do it, and it's been a hell of a ride, and absolutely no regrets. And it's been a pretty cool journey to look back on.
Well, I know, and again, we had great time earlier this year in Dearborn, and I look forward to seeing you again in Ring of Honor. And I know that is going to happen, no doubt about that. So the journey continues on. How much more time do you spend? We've got just about 2 minutes left, Zach. How much more time do you plan on spending in the ring? What does the future hold for you?
Well, right now, as I see it, and I'm only obligated to do the next right thing, and as I do that, things just happen to fall in place for me, and that's based solely on my faith. But if I were to take a guess, an educated guess, I don't see myself wrestling beyond 3 more years. Just the wear and tear on my body and hopping around. I've been hopping around on one leg for 22 years, and I've been wrestling for 12 of those years, and so, you know, it's starting to catch up with me a little bit. I just turned 31, but I want to be around for my son, in full capacity. So right now I'm kind of in a transition. I've started doing a lot of inspirational speaking where I go to high schools, middle schools, and I share my story with these kids. And what I'm finding out is I'm reaching a lot more kids than I am through wrestling, and by just telling my story, I'm hitting these kids on a deeper level than I am just through wrestling. And so what I'm finding out is this is probably my future is in speaking, writing books, you know, making DVDs, things like that. Just basically anything it's an extension of sharing my story with the hopes of being of service to somebody.
Well, we certainly have enjoyed what you've given us. And, of course, you speak of the documentary. You'll be able to see the documentary called Finding Zach Gowan. Copies can be purchased and shipped this weekend online through digital download. They'll be available for purchase to fans in New Orleans attending the events down there at both WrestleCon and the Mid-South Legends Fan Fest. You can go to joe-dombrowski.com and make sure you check that out, because it is going to be that'll be a story that you'll say, I'm really glad I got this because I was truly moved by this. Make sure you go online and you can find the trailer for it for Finding Zach Gowan. And Zach, I want to thank you for being our guest here, and thank you for what you do, and thank you for inspiring me each and every day. I really appreciate it.
You're awesome, Kevin. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right. So there he is. There's Zach Gowan, our guest here on the Kevin Kelly Show. All right, so there you hear Zach Gowan. What a great story. Finding Zach Gowan. Make sure you hunt that down and check that out. And I didn't even get into burying our good friend Joe Dombrowski, which I probably should have done, you know, because he is so difficult to work with, the ultimate prima donna that he is. But, man, what a great job. All right, JR, we've got Ashley Six coming up later on, but let's do some trending stories, because I love this segment.
All right, we got three of them. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Move over, EGOT. There's a new gold standard when it comes to pulling off the ultimate clean sweep. Kwasi Anine is normally just a 17-year-old senior at William Floyd High School in Mastic Beach, New York, but today he's a rock star god of academia when he rolled the dice in applying to all 8 Ivy League universities and was accepted to all of them. That's Brown, Columbia, Cornell, Dartmouth, Harvard, Princeton, Penn, and Yale. What do you think of that, Kevin Kelly?
That's, first of all, that's a lot of paperwork.
That is a lot of paperwork. Yes, that's a lot of paperwork there.
Let me tell you.
A lot of fees. He must be rich. It's like $40 a piece, right? That's what it was when I was applying.
Brother, even when I went to school back in the dark ages, when Deion Sanders was in school at Florida State, I applied to 2 colleges.
You think Deion paid for that application?
Listen, I applied to Florida State University, and to pop my friends, I applied to the University of Guam. Nice. And I was accepted to both of them, and that was it.
You should have went to Guam. That would have been awesome.
I got all kinds of financial aid information, and I was all set to become a Guamian or whatever they were.
Guamians.
Well, listen, congratulations to that young man who's getting ready now to make a great choice of which.
Where would you go if you had this choice? What do you think? He's from New York. He didn't think he was getting into Harvard. They took the longest to get back to him.
I think that's, to me, that's it, right?
And with Chris Nowinski?
Harvard? Hey, you know, listen, I've always been partial to Brown, though.
Yeah.
I've always been a fan of Brown, and I don't know why.
Come down to Providence, you know.
Yeah, you can hang out. You're very close there. You're right there by your wing place.
That's right.
What's the name of that joint?
Boneheads. You'll hear an ad for them shortly here on the Kevin Kelly Show.
I can't wait. That's going to be. Oh, I got to so get good. Down there. It's super.
We'll what be there a, Sunday. We'll be there for WrestleMania. We have like 10 of us going. Mr. McGinn will be here.
Jeez, you're letting him in?
Scott and George, Dr. G from PTBN's Extra Point. So,
you know, it's a good thing for Scott that they start WrestleMania at 7, because when he starts nodding off by 8:45, he'll at least say he saw some wrestling.
Look,
right?
You're not dragging me in. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Not doing it.
I love it. I love it. Well, so this kid gets accepted into all 8 Ivy League schools.
Insane.
What is it? What was the magic formula? What did he do?
He's smart.
Well, okay, so everybody's smart. You could get a 1600 on the AC, on the SAT or whatever the perfect score is now. You can get a 4.0 GPA. You can be the valedictorian.
He's not only a genius, he's an athlete, a singer, and an all-around pretty cool kid, according to this article.
Gosh.
So he does it all. Does it all.
I hate kids like that. Talented kids. Well, hey, good for him, man. That's great.
Well, and, which ones are you eliminating off the bat? Like Dartmouth? No one gives a shit about Dartmouth, right?
What is that, New Jersey?
No, it's New Hampshire.
No. Too far out.
Penn? No one even knows Penn's an Ivy League.
Wait a minute. Penn is pretty cool.
Yeah,
Listen, I live in Pennsylvania. I can't throw that one out.
All right, Yale. No one wants to live in New Haven.
New Haven is a ghetto.
Yeah. All right, so Yale's out. Columbia. Well, it's rule out Cornell. Like Cornell's up, like, yeah. Cornell's upstate. We don't want to go there.
No, Cornell's up too far, and Columbia is like in the Bronx, right? Manhattan.
That may be it. Let me double check here.
So that's probably the closest one to his house.
Columbia is in Upper Manhattan. Yes.
Yeah, it's in Upper Manhattan, almost the Bronx. So, I don't know.
I'd say, well, you got Princeton too, which is in Jersey. That's pretty close.
Princeton, I like. Princeton's up there.
Now, if he's a basketball guy, he might want to go to Harvard, though. Tommy Amaker's doing things in that program. They've made the tournament the last couple of years.
Hey, all right, I would rank them: Harvard, Princeton, Penn. How about that?
What happened to Brown?
Harvard, Princeton, Brown, Penn.
There you go. All right.
I got upset when you started slighting my Pennsylvania. No, Harvard, Princeton, Brown, and Penn in my top 4 of schools that I could never have gotten into.
And then Guam.
Yeah, and then Guam. All right. Trending story number 2, please.
Last night, well, actually now, a couple nights ago, Kevin Kelly, we said goodbye to Ted and Lily and Marshall and Robin and Barney after 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother. Also, more real goodbye to the mother, which tweeters were not pleased about. I don't know if you ever watched the show, Kevin. I do not, but I do know they had her die of cancer. I guess we should say spoiler alert, but whatever. I'm sure everyone knows by now. Ted ends up with Robin.
Well, she's already dead. I mean, it's not a spoiler.
You're right.
Right.
She's dead. So let me just read you a couple of the angry tweets, okay? From Courtney White. Seriously, if they end this with Robin and Ted ending up together, I'll punch a hole in the universe. Don't do it. From Tennessee Sun. What the actual fuck, How You Met Your Mother writers? I will come kill you with Marshall and Ted's swords. Valerie Ann. They did not put me through an entire season of one freaking wedding weekend for that. No. La Comtesse Jamie. Suspect Robin involved in the mother's death. Follow-up series. How I Murdered Your Mother and Made It Look Like Natural Causes. And finally, Feroz Ali. Just finished watching How I Met Your Mother finale. 9 years of character development destroyed in a 40-minute episode. These guys make wrestling fans look excited and
happy.
Oh,
my God. The IWC is alive and well with How I Met Your Mother.
But
For Christ's sakes,
IHIMYMC.
By the way, my favorite part of that is you reading the Twitter names of these people's handles.
Captain Russo, How to Ruin Something Legendary in Only 10 Minutes should be the name of that last episode.
How I Married Your Mother on a Pole by Vince Russo.
Hey, take her on a pole and then she'll bang Judy Bagwell. Everyone will fucking come watch it.
You know, I never watched that show because I could never get over the fact that here was Neil Patrick Harris, who is out of the closet, and yet he played a womanizer on the show.
Yeah.
I just didn't, first I saw him as Doogie Howser. Then I saw him as, okay, well, he's a gay man and he's a womanizer. Sorry. It threw me for a loop.
John Pope, there are 2 kinds of How I Met Your Mother fans. Those who hated the finale and those who love it when poop gets thrown directly in their eye sockets. These guys are rough.
Oh, my God. Hey, can I tell you a quick story about having something directly thrown into my eye socket?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We should.
Oh, you'll love
that.
This. It wasn't poop, and we'll stay on track timing-wise. Let's take you back in time not too long ago to Dayton, Ohio, Ring of Honor Wrestling, and the Flying High event. Four-corner survival match is in the ring, and the participants are the Romantic Touch, Kyle O'Reilly, the owner of the New Streak, R.D. Evans, and your boy, Silas Young, right? So R.D. Evans has his sign carrier named Ramon, some shifty fella who's, I don't know what his deal is. He's not an attorney. He's very, very shaky, shady individual. Anyway, so he's got this sign, right? Foam core mounted poster board. It's heavy poster board. Well, Silas Young rips the sign out of this dude's hand, you know, whatever the streak was, and he flings it out of the ring. When he flings it out of the ring, don't you know, the damn thing hits me square in my right eye.
Poor reflexes.
Dude, seriously, I was like, I caught it perfectly in my eyeball. And the only thing that saved me was my eyelid, because this thing hit me square in the eye. So I just like, oh, Jesus, I run away from ringside because I'm thinking my eye is gushing blood.
Let's qualify it. Run.
I didn't have far to run, thankfully, but I'm scooting quickly.
Okay.
Up the ramp.
It's a brisk walk, we'll call it.
It was. Shut up, jerk. Anyway, so I go back and I see Mark Davis, who's the producer there, and Jeff Jones is running the music. And I'm like, guys, I got hit in the eye with that sign. Oh, my God, really? And I got my hand up to my eye and I take my hand away and I go, is it bad? And they go, look at me and go, ooh, it's one of those deals, right? Eye is completely bloodshot. Thank God nothing happened, but it's perfectly fine now. It was really uncomfortable for a couple days. But 22 years of calling matches at ringside, and that was the first time I'd ever gotten hurt, or really like the first time I'd ever seriously gotten hit with anything.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, like, you know, chairs flying, tables flying, all these different things.
Things on a
pole. Nothing's
pole.
Ever happened to me. And one stupid, idiotic guy named Ramon, sign carrier for R.D. Evans, almost causes me to go blind. And your boy, Silas Young, who
hey,
I hold personally
hey,
responsible.
Hey, you're in the way of the sign. Yeah, it's not his fault. You leave Silas alone.
Carino was a trooper, though. He was like, oh, I held down the fort. You didn't need to come back. All
as
right.
You should.
All right, that was trending story number two. We've got one more trending story.
We do.
I love this part.
This is a good one, Kevin Kelly.
I love this.
Mets second baseman Daniel Murphy going to be away from the team for a few days on paternity leave because his wife had a child and he wants to be with her. This is the thing that men in America, even athletes, do. Usually, if they don't, it's because they're not lucky enough to have a good job where they can spend time with their wife who gave birth to a child and their new child. It isn't anything anyone needs to get worked up about. It isn't anything anybody does get worked about, unless you're Mike Francesa. Francesa spent a solid 5 minutes on his radio show today ranting about how ridiculous it was that Murphy was taking paternity leave, having been convinced by someone that he'll be away from the team for 10 days. We have no idea where he got 10 days from. All that's been reported is a couple of days. You're a Major League Baseball player. You can hire a nurse. What are you going to do? Sit there and look at your wife in the hospital bed for 2 days? Francesa also explains that after his son was born, he was at work the very next day. And here's where we remind you that Francesa's job is to talk into a microphone, and his day starts at 1 p.m. And it's the least possible his wife thought, Christ, what an asshole. And we must say, this is from Deadspin, of course, Kevin, Francesa also approximately takes about 20 weeks off a year, so good chance maybe his kids were born during one of these vacations. Talk about this insufferable clown, Mike Francesa, for us.
All right, first of all, I'm a Mets fan, so full disclosure there. And whether Daniel Murphy was with the team or not with the team, it is not going to matter because they absolutely freaking suck, okay? It was the first game. He might miss the first 5 games of the season, maybe the first 10. Who cares? The world has changed. And back in the day, baseball players went on the road. They all cheated on their wives. They all smoked and drank, and they did different things, okay? But now it's a different era, and the team supports it. He had full permission. Get over yourself, Mike Francesa. But the fact that you played Mike and the Mad Dogs theme here on my show makes my career complete, because I was a huge Mike and the Mad Dog fan back in the day. No doubt about it. One of the best parts of living in Connecticut. Yeah.
That was George Arati. If that was George Arati out there, Daniel Murphy would be playing today.
That was George.
He,
How about this, Mikey? San Francisco Giants, Buster Posey.
I was actually watching a little bit of it. I was watching a little bit of his show on MLB Network today. Wasn't too
he
bad.
Has a that guy has gone so far with a speech impediment.
Oh,
it's
awful.
Amazing.
Yeah, and he's probably slightly on the autism scale, I think.
And he can't, I mean, spit flying. He can't pronounce the letter R, and he's a multi-billionaire.
Unbelievable.
Oh. Where did it all go wrong?
Francesa, though, apparently, if you go to, I don't know if Deadspin has a whole thing here, but I know if you follow, do you follow WFAN Audio on
yes,
Twitter? Okay, so
I
they're
do.
Great. So they have a 23, this was a 23-minute segment with calls and everything with him just going off, and I guess Boomer was on, and he was saying, you know, he would have had his wife have a C-section before the game if he could, and like all just rough stuff from these guys today. So anyone, if you follow at WFAN Audio, I believe it is, or if you just search WFAN Audio, they have the whole Francesa rant up there, 23
minutes. Oh, my gosh. All right, we've got it. The trending stories this week was outstanding. Fantastic job. We're going to take a quick break. Then when we come back here on the Kevin Kelly Show, an interview you will not want to miss with a good friend of mine named Ashley Six. Stay with us.
Hey, this is Ben Morse from Marvel.com as well as the Brad and Chad Show, and I've got a new podcast. Well, I'm part of a new podcast, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. Hosted by Scott Criscolo every other week, it's a roundtable discussion with myself, Andrew Reich, Steve Willey, Jordan Duncan, and an assortment of special guests as we talk wrestling today, the big questions, and our feelings. Please, please, please check this podcast out, because if the ratings go down, I know I'm the first head on the chopping block from Justin Rosero. See you guys every other week on Place to Be Nation's Main Event.
I'm Scott Criscolo, and your new home for sports is Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. Join me and the doctor, Giorgio Bellino, for your sports hookup, whether it's NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, colleges, or the Cowboys MMA Blitz.
Forget about it. Plus, join me for my prescription where I will solve all the world's sports problems with my own brand of medicine.
That's Place to Be Nation's Extra Point here on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Don't forget to check out our fantastic podcasts as well, including the voice of Ring of Honor, Kevin Kelly, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Also, be sure to check out our friends at the History of WWE.com, ProWrestlingOnly.com, Scott Keith blog at RSPWFAQ.net, and PileDriverWrestling.net.
Hey guys, this is Spotify Adam Pierce, and you are listening live to the Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation.
In my shoes, my toes are busted. My kitchen says my bread is molded. I got a good job at the dollar store. 1 foot in the hole, 1 foot getting deeper with a.
And we continue here on the Kevin Kelly Show here on the Place to Be Nation. Earlier on, we heard from Zach Gowen and his remarkable story. And you know, here with our theme of Finish Strong, there was a guy who I wanted you fans to get to meet, get to hear from, because I think you're going to see a lot more of him in the future. And he's our guest here. He's coming back. It's just a remarkable story. And wait till he shares it. He's a good friend of mine. Ashley Six is on the Kevin Kelly Show. Ashley, what's up, my man?
Not too much. I'm just sitting outside Squared Circle Training in Toronto. First of all, Kevin, I just really want to say thank you for inviting me on this show. It's a really cool opportunity.
Well, thank you for, You know, we met at a Ring of Honor tryout camp, but we have so much. We have so much in common with so many, you know, like akin with so many people through Ron Hutchinson and through the whole, Canadian scene and Elgin and everybody like that. It was like we already knew each other.
Yeah, it's funny how wrestling works that way. There's people that you may have heard of for years or never even heard of before, and sometimes you meet them and right away you click as if you're old buddies. And I definitely felt that way with you as well.
And again, when you came to that Ring of Honor tryout camp, I looked at this guy, and like I said, a lot of folks have not seen Ashley Six before. Again, competing in the Toronto area, had always heard good things about him. Came highly recommended from Elgin, so you knew he was good. And I looked at this guy, and I'm like, here he is, man. He's got this punk rock gimmick, and man, he's really living the gimmick. He's shaving patches of his own hair off. My gosh, this guy is awesome looking, man. That's larger than life. That's how you do it. And then when I talked to you and you told me how you lost your hair, I was like, wow, that's odd. Talk about making it work for you. What the heck? Now you've had a few health issues, and we're going to talk about what your most recent comeback is from. But talk to me about read me your medical chart, if you will, just kind of where it started and what the first things were, and then what the evolution was to where we are now.
Yeah. So, giving you a quick rundown about myself and my wrestling character. For the longest time, I was always like, kind of the pretty boy rock star type fella. I had like a mohawk, like a bright pink mohawk and like a full beard and all that. And then I went through, a really stressful time in my life a couple years back, and, my hair started falling out, and I was like, well, what the hell? This is brutal because it's totally against what I was trying to do. Because I was such like a vain person. And in my wrestling character as well, it translated the same.
So yeah, rockstar pretty boy shouldn't have his own hair falling out. That doesn't fit, right?
Yeah. And like, I've always been, since I was a little kid, I've always been like a hair guy. Like, I've had like dreads, mohawk. Like, I've always really been like a big thing about my hair. So that was a huge knock on my self-confidence. I was going through a rough time in my life a little bit. And I don't know what happened, but at some point, actually, I think it was Elgin. He called me because I disappeared for a while, like literally just disappeared. Elgin called me and basically threatened my life if I didn't get up and wrestle that weekend. He said, I'm going to come to your house and I will kill you if you don't show up to the show this weekend. And when Elgin asked me to do something, he's like my brother. And I go, all right, I'll be there. And from there, you know, it started. I'm like, what do I do? Like, do I just like not wrestle because I'm so vain, or do I just start making this work for myself? So what I had was something called alopecia, which not a lot of people are familiar with. Like you, a lot of the people from my area, from the local community, thought I just did this to myself, thought I was shaving off my eyebrows. And I was like, nah, man, like this is a medical issue. That I have like an immune system deficiency, not quite sure what causes it. And it went on for about 3 years, and it started getting better. And then when I came to the Ring of Honor camp, it was about, I want to say, the 6 months before that, it started getting really bad. And everything started falling on my eyebrows, my eyelashes. And I was like, man, this really sucks. But it's working with my like dirty type gimmick that I've been doing lately. Because as my hair started falling out and as my attitude started changing, as I started growing, I started changing my character to be a little more like who I am, a little more grungy and dirty, and really reflecting on what created me as a person, which is like the grunge era in music and the attitude era of wrestling. So it definitely made it work for me. So that was the first thing.
So alopecia, your immune system is a little bit compromised, but it doesn't cause like pain, right?
There's no pain.
It's discomfort like with your eyes because you don't have eyelashes, so you get a lot more things in your eyes?
Not even. I would say the only painful thing was the treatments I was getting for it. Like I was getting, just like your producer that I heard last week, I was getting cortisol shots in my beard, in my eyebrows, and in my head on like a weekly basis. Yeah, it was brutal. Like I would go in and I would start laughing because it was so bad.
Justin just had his shot in his taint, but he liked that.
That's awful.
The hair had fallen out. He didn't even care about that. He's like, can you give it to me down there? JR,
just
you
one, just one good shot.
You know what, Kevin? Even with alopecia, Ashley and I, our hair looks way better than yours anyway.
Ah, shut up. Mine's hanging on for dear life. It's on life support. Don't talk ill of my hair.
I can't handle it.
No. But JR, yours is not as pronounced as Ashley's was because, or is that just because your hair is a little bit thicker? You know, he cuts his real short and so you can kind of see it. But is it multiple patches with you, JR, or just kind of the one?
It was, and mine actually came back through the steroid shot. So I had a patch in my beard. I had one near my ear, kind of like in my sideburn. And then I had the worst one I had was up at right above my forehead. Just a huge block where there was just nothing. And I tried some kind of herbal, like I talked about this last week, so I don't want to hijack too much now. I tried some herbal methods and then I went and I got a steroid shot. And that brought it back, thankfully. And it piqued my interest, actually, when you said it was a stressful time for you, because that's what everyone kept asking me. And it really wasn't at the time for me. So it's amazing to think what it, you know, they don't have reasons for it, which is crazy to me to think about. But they're basically
they
like,
really have no reasons.
Right. They're like, oh, you could have ate something, your body had a weird reaction, and your immune system went haywire. You know, they're like, it could have been like anything. So, celiac and wheat allergy runs in my family a bit, so they checked that out and it wasn't that, and it came back, thankfully. But it's rough, and I'm sure you've done the research, Ashley. There are some horror stories out there for poor people that just can't handle it mentally. And and my wife actually just cut her hair and donated it to Pantene for women with cancer or similar issues like this, to put it back. So she's been doing that, and it's crazy. It's a very unknown kind of secretive thing that really screws with people.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely rough. I got moved in the last 6 months. I had started getting like some extreme hair loss, and they moved me to a different type of treatment that I don't think they do in the States. It's basically a man-made poison ivy that they put on you, and it's just the most brutal thing ever.
Oh, geez. That's gotta feel good.
Yeah, and it was kind of sad. Like, I saw like lots of little kids there with like zero hair, so I was like, I'm not doing that bad if, you know, I'm not a little kid with no hair. So
right.
I felt bad for those kids. Like, that must be rough for them. But, you know, for me, it's one of those things where I was like, yeah, it happened. I'm going to make it work.
Well, okay. So, but it'd be one thing if, and thank you, Jared, it'd be one thing if you would have just lost your hair, if you would have just suffered with alopecia. But it continued on. What was the next episode? This is like a multi-chapter book. This is
it is. It's going to make you a good reader.
Homer's Odyssey of Medical Maladies with Ashley Six. But, oh, the best is yet to come, folks. Just you wait. What was next?
Here's the thing. So everything is actually intertwined. Because, like I said, I had the alopecia a couple years ago, and it did start coming back. And it was kind of at bay for a while. And then the last 6 months before the Ring of Honor camp is when it started getting bad. And I guess we should touch, to make the story a little more linear, let's say at this point is when I go to the Ring of Honor camp.
Yeah.
Great time at the Ring of Honor camp. I got invited to Baltimore.
Dude,
I did a match in Baltimore. Thank you. I had a lot of fun. That was my last weekend of wrestling until now.
That is amazing. So you do the camp, and then you get asked to compete in an opportunity, and it's a it's what we call in the industry a dark match, meaning it's not televised, mm-hmm. but it's for a televised event. It was you and Greek God Papadon. You guys
correct.
Were out there
and
6-8 minutes, tear it up, and then bum bum bum
bum bum bum. You know what? I want to tell you something about that match. I didn't tell anyone. I was so happy after that match that I actually went and like found a corner to compose myself because I was overjoyed and I didn't want to look like a loser in the back. So I was like, I need to go sit somewhere and like relax. I'm so happy because the crowd reaction was insane. I didn't expect it. So again, super happy. Felt like $1 million on the ride home with Elgin. It's a long ride home, and I noticed that at every stop, I was having a little more trouble standing up, and I was like, oh, maybe I hurt my back a little bit, whatever. And I know we have 20 minutes, so I'm going to give you like the tidbits here. By the time I got home and sat down, I was on my computer and checking my emails, and I realized I couldn't get up. And I was like, this is strange. Like, I can't get up. And I've been wrestling for 10 years, Kevin, and I've never called an ambulance ever for myself. I've had cuts in my head that I've glued together. Like, I only call an ambulance if I ever really need it, and I never had before this. But at this point, I was like, I really can't even stand up. Like, this is strange. So I called an ambulance. It took, over the course of 2 days, it took 3 ambulance rides for them to take me seriously in the hospital. And, like, I had friends literally picking me up and carrying me into hospital rooms because I couldn't move. And then all of a sudden, it was a whirlwind from there. I started hiccuping, which was like a weird sign for them. And that's when they started taking things seriously. And they found out after tons of testing that I had a very serious staph infection that resided in my SI joints. And it was making my system, I was very near being toxic. So it was really, really bad. Like, my lungs were filling with fluid. I was having, like, weird heartbeats. Like, it was just really strange. And to be honest, I don't remember much from that point for the next month because they just were pumping so many different things in my body because I couldn't sit down. I couldn't stand up. I couldn't lay down. So I was in the hospital with that staph infection for about a month and a half. And I know you touched on it a little bit on your last episode with Adam Pierce. But that's when I had to make the call to ROH and say, hey, thank you for giving me this awesome opportunity, but I am in the hospital and I will not be able to make it, which is probably
that didn't listen a couple of weeks ago. Ashley Six was going to be in Scum and had earned it. And it would have been like, you know, and I remember talking about it like, yeah, man, that would be awesome. In Scum, that'd be great. And then it was, oh my God, you're not going to believe this. What? Ashley Six is in the hospital. What? Yeah. When he drove home from Baltimore, his back went out. He couldn't walk. Thought it was something with that. Turns out he's got like this massive staph infection. Oh my God. No.
So that's
just heartbreaking. Tough. Yeah.
So this is chapter two, staph infection.
Now, it'd be one thing if the book ended there. Be like, oh, yeah. My God, you come back from this. No, it didn't end. It keeps going.
Yeah. At that point, I had lost like 40 or 50 pounds. I couldn't walk. I was walking with a cane. And I was having trouble eating. And I was having at-home care. So a nurse was coming to my house every day, and I had a PICC line inserted in my body to receive more antibiotics. But I was having such terrible stomach pains that I went back to the hospital on the advice of my lady friend, and she said, hey, you shouldn't be having this much pain. Go back. And luckily I did, because they did a CAT scan or a CT scan on my body midsection again, just to kind of see if everything was okay. And that's when they noticed that my lymph nodes were enlarged. And they said my lymph nodes were enlarged a month or two before, but when you're sick, that's normal. They said, however, now that your staph infection is gone, they should have shrunk, but instead they've grown larger. And I remember it was a resident, this really young resident doctor, and I asked, well, what does that mean? And she, plain as day, just straight up goes, you probably have cancer.
Oh, Jesus.
Just plain as day. I think that's the first time I actually like freaked out, because they wanted me to stay in the hospital, and I kind of lost it a little bit. I was like, I'm not staying here. I'm going home, and you guys can call me in a couple days, because like, I'm going to lose my mind right now, because I need to wrestle. That's what I told them.
I need to wrestle. Oh, God. You guys are all sick. Like, all of you. You're all crazy.
We are. We're completely insane. Me and Al can talk about it all the time. I think you have to be like a little bit kooky to be successful in wrestling. From there, it took a good month or so of testing. They did tons of like really invasive tests to see if I did have it, and then to stage me if I did. And then about a month later, I was diagnosed with advanced stage 3 Hodgkin's lymphoma. Yay.
Yay.
Yeah.
That's a lot on a t-shirt, but you know.
Ashley, we're in a way very linked here. My father-in-law 2 years ago just passed away from Hodgkin's lymphoma, so I'm very familiar with everything that goes along with it. So I can say I fully empathize with everything you've gone through in your life, and it's awful.
Yeah, man, it sucks. Like, I think I was lucky that I was a young guy who works out and eats clean and doesn't do drugs or any of those things. Because basically, from that point on, I did 8 rounds of chemotherapy, which was 16 sessions for 9 months. Every other week I was in the hospital, and it sucked. I'm not going to lie. It was brutal. Like, I lost all of my hair. Like zero hair, nothing. You know, my body was messing my body up, and, you know, I was still recouping from the staph infection at the same time. So basically, at that point, I decided to kind of step away from the wrestling scene for a while. Like I said, I only told a few people, mainly because I don't like sympathy, and I don't want people to feel awkward around me or to constantly be asking me if I'm okay or how I'm doing. I just wanted to kind of deal with it on my own, and that's what I did.
And I know, because I had seen you in May, right, in Toronto, yep. And that mm-hmm. So that was after staph infection pre-cancer, right?
Yes, I think I knew. I think I told you guys that I knew at that point that I had it.
Oh, that okay. Yeah.
And I think I saw you guys one more time.
Yeah.
After that, when I was like in treatment.
Jeez, Alou. Well, okay. So, all right. So now, of course, all of this is, the story has a tremendous happy ending. And the happy ending is the beginning of a happy ending, because the next chapter is going to be written. And this is all about the comeback now. It's just like a wrestling match. Okay. So we had the big shine in the beginning. Uh-huh. You were looking strong, right? And then the heel stopped you, shut you down a little bit. Little comeback, little hope spot, shut you down again with now the staff. Okay.
Yep.
Then you're starting to really mount that comeback. You're rocking your roll. Guess what? Bob, boom. Here comes the big heat, right? Cancer.
Yep.
Now,
the big heat.
Now you are starting to hulk up, right? I'm feeling it. And the people are with you now. The people are on the edge of their seat, man. They're clapping and stomping their feet, because on April 13th, is the big comeback, the big babyface comeback for Ashley Six, and the first annual Fight for Cancer at the Great Hall in Toronto, Ontario. It's going to be a great afternoon of pro wrestling and live music, fundraising goal of $10,000, all kinds of stuff. We'll talk more about that in a second. But what does this comeback mean to you personally? Above and beyond just the fundraiser, Ashley, what does this mean to you to get back in the ring?
Honestly, it sounds lame, but it does mean like everything in the world to me. It's almost 1 year to the date of my official diagnosis. So that, number one, is important to me. It's on my wrestling anniversary, cause I started in April, 10 years back. So that's another cool thing for me. But the coolest part for me is that I'm in there with three of my best friends. I'll be having a four-way match with a guy who's like a brother to me, Michael Elgin. One of my great buddies, All Ego Ethan Page, and as well as Tyson Dukes, who's been a huge mentor for me since the day I started training. So being in there with those three guys is going to be fantastic. I trust them like I trust no one else, and I know they're going to push me to go a little crazy, which is what I want. So I'm not just looking to come back and just have a couple matches. I'm looking to come back and just destroy the wrestling world and set it on fire as best as I can. I mean, if I'm ever going to get somewhere, I'm more motivated and working harder than I ever have in my entire career. So this is make it or break it time for me.
Well, again, and every great journey begins with one step, and the first step is a fundraiser. So, I mean, it could be just, listen, you could go work anywhere. You could get on any show, no problem at all. You could work anywhere you wanted to. But why the decision to do this fundraiser? Talk to me about what this personally means to you as well.
Yeah. So about halfway through my treatment, I think I needed something to focus on. And I had a brief timeline of how long my treatment was going to last. So I decided I want to put on a fundraiser, and whether I'm ready or not, I'm going to wrestle on it. So I made that decision up, about halfway through my treatment. I started putting the wheels in motion with getting the venue and all that. The charity I chose is actually the hospital that treated me, Princess Margaret in Toronto, which is one of the largest and best cancer hospitals and research centers in the country and even North America. So I want to do it for them, because the staff there, especially the nurses, were just fantastic with me and really, really cool and really, you know, they had my back, which was awesome. So that's my giving back to them. And I think definitely having that focus was something that helped me out throughout the entire thing. And, you know, a lot of the fundraisers that are happening with the walks and you know, the rides, like, those are all cool. But they don't really hit the right art type of audience for what I'm going for. And I'm looking to really branch out to younger people and really get awareness that, hey, like, people who aren't old get sick too. People who are healthy get sick. So let's, you know, really keep an eye on things. And if things aren't looking good, go to the hospital. So that I want to kind of branch out to bring some awareness to some people who may not have otherwise had it.
Well, that Fight for Cancer, it's a, you know, great wrestling card. There's going to be a live band, raffle prizes, guest appearances, and more. This is on April the 13th, and you guys are going to look to dropkick cancer right in its face, right in its
right
freaking
in the
face.
Yeah,
man. Yep.
It's going to be a fantastic show.
Well, and again, you know, when you have a fundraiser like that, you know, raising money for Princess Margaret Hospital right there in Toronto, and you went through 8 rounds of chemo. I'm sure you met patients both old and young that were in kind of similar stead as you when you were in the hospital. Tell me some of the quickly, some of the recollections that you had from people who inspired you. What motivated you to get off the deck other than wanting to get back into the ring and to put your life and your career back together?
You know, there's so many people who came to get treatment that there's always different people every time. So I didn't get to bond too much with actual other patients, but I really bonded with a couple of the nurses. There's a great nurse named Melanie who is a huge wrestling fan and loves The Rock. And she was really cool and would always be like, hey, my wrestler, you know what I mean? So she was really fun to be around. She would always, like, hype me up. And there was another cool nurse who he was always, you know, telling me, like, kind of, like give me, like, tough love. Like, I remember when I finished my treatment and I was supposed to ring the bell, he goes, don't you cry on me. He's like, don't be that little punk who cries. And like, just, like, you know what I mean? Like, they're treating me the way that I wanted to be treated, like, just like a normal dude.
Sure.
So like those are the people who, and they're going to be at my event. They're coming to help out, which is awesome. So the people I bonded with were actually like some of the nurses. They were so cool. And I think they're like, you know, the unsung heroes of hospitals. Without these cool nurses, they're the ones that you have all the interactions with. So they're the ones who can like make or break your day. So, they definitely, you know, made treatment very easy for me because it ended up being like I was going to hang out with my friends.
Well, and so that's all part of that fundraiser on April the 13th, the Great Hall, Toronto, Ontario. Is there a give me a web address here that folks could go so they can learn more about the first annual Fight for Cancer?
Yeah, so the web address is fightforcancer.ca. And on that website, you could buy tickets, you could buy t-shirts, or you could just donate. Even a dollar helps. And 100% of proceeds does go towards the Princess Margaret Cancer Foundation.
Yeah, and there's going to be ticket packages, specialty merchandise available at the show, raffle prizes, and on-site fundraising as well. The fundraising goal for the event is $10,000. So let's do our part, Place to Be Nation, and let's help Ashley hit this goal at the first annual Fight for Cancer, April 13th, Great Hall, Toronto, Ontario. So how quick can we get you back in the mix with Ring of Honor? Realistically, where how long until you feel like you're ready to go?
I feel as though I'm ready to have a couple matches in April and May. I feel as though by the time like June, July runs around, I will look the way I want. I'm a very visual person, you know me.
Yep.
Physically, I think I'll be ready to not only perform, but like to kill it and steal the show come summertime, like June, July, August. Well, so whenever you guys want me, I'm there.
Dude, you got my word, and you know this. As soon as you're ready, you let us know, and you're there.
Fantastic. And I appreciate that more than you could ever know.
Yeah, man, we'll make this work, no doubt about it. And of course, doing the stuntman stuff, is that used to be a stuntman? Are you still doing that? Are you going to get back to doing that? What are you doing?
I will be getting back into stunt work. Actually, my first feature film debuts April 24th, which is awesome. It stars Leo DeMachida. It has Anderson Silva is in it. Lionsgate purchased it, so Lionsgate is releasing it. It's called Tapped Out. So look out for the movie called Tapped Out.
Yeah, and it's starring Ashley Six and a couple of UFC jobbers.
There you go. Here's something cool. True story. My character name in the movie is Ashley Six.
Get out of here.
I didn't even know until I was on set. They liked my name.
Ah, that's badass. And, you know, I'm not going to give your phone number out, but how in the world do you sneak three sixes in the phone number there? What's that all about? And four in a row?
No joke. They gave it to me randomly. Yeah. It's like they knew me.
It's like they knew you. All right. Like, well, listen, what a journey. What a story. The babyface comeback is in full swing now. And you're going over, kid. You're getting your hand raised tonight. I can tell you that. The first annual Fight for Cancer, April 13th, Great Hall, Toronto, Ontario. Make sure you're there. Fight, the number 4cancer.ca, right? Do I have the website?
Yes.
Okay. Make sure you're there. And if you can't be there, make sure you go visit the website and contribute. My good friend Ashley Six, welcome back. And I'm looking forward to seeing you again real soon.
Thanks, man.
All right. Well, I like that interview a whole lot. Man, oh man, what an inspirational story. What a great time we've had here on the Kevin Kelly Show. Ashley Six, and whatever you do, make yourself familiar with this guy, because very few wrestlers, and we had a limited amount of time with Ashley, you know, but the very few wrestlers get to where he was. Very few wrestlers get to that point of knocking on the door of Ring of Honor, and very few wrestlers get invited in. And now that he's overcome the staph infection / stage 3 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma cancer that he could have died from, he's going to get an opportunity once again. Because once you're that good, you never forget how to be that good. And he is that good. Trust me. Ashley Six is going to be a player in 2015, I think, in the wrestling world, probably in Ring of Honor and anywhere else he wants to go, because, man, he's kicked out of cancer. He's kicked out of everything. So God bless him. That's awesome. All right. JR.
Yes.
Let's do some Twitter questions, shall we? Because Twitter is fun and it's our friend.
It is our friend. We're going to do three here. There's a lot of good ones this week, actually. A lot of good ones.
We're getting them. We're getting good ones every week at Real Kevin Kelly with the hashtag Ask Kevin with KK highlighted. Kevin Millar.
I bet he didn't.
By the way, earlier on, you talked about the story with Daniel Murphy, and I just can't get that theme out of my head. All through Ashley's interview, it's playing in the background of my mind. I'm going to hear the Mike and the Mad Dog theme for weeks. I love it. Thank you. That's so great.
So the questions I wanted to ask you today, Kevin, we're going to focus on a couple that have to do with this coming weekend and recent news. But we have a lot of good ones, so we're going to get to them, and I want to give shout-outs to WrestleChat, to I Am Darcy, to Mr. LaRusse, GMG, I Dream Wrestling. Like, we have some really good ones. I want you guys to know we're not ignoring you. We're going to get to you. But there's a couple here specific to news going on in ROH I want to get to, Kev. So,
how about my boy J-Ro down in Baltimore? Is he submitted one this week?
I don't see one for him.
All right.
I like this one, though. This is an easy one we'll start with. From Jeremy Nichols, PTBN staff writer. What are the chances of getting Kevin Steen on our show sometime?
Well, you know what? I'll have Kevin on the show. I know he's really busy because... like me, he's got kids, but we'll have Kevin on here and we'll talk about all things because he's got some stuff brewing, you know, right now. He might have some good opportunity coming up. So we'll see. Could be the next Ring of Honor world champion after this weekend. Let's just say it that way, because he's got a world title match coming up in Toronto. So that's going to be a lot of fun for him. So, yeah, definitely.
All right. From Stephen J. Sutton. What makes ladder war more interesting than a ladder match? Why do you enjoy ladder war but don't enjoy ladder matches?
Why did he say I don't enjoy ladder matches?
You must have said that somewhere.
Listen, what makes it more interesting, Stephen J. Sutton? It's a war. Hello. You play to win the game. I'll put it to you this way. In a ladder match, a lot of times ladder matches about, to me, have an artistic feel to them. And ladder war is about combat. It's brutality. Everybody that's competed in a ladder war, and there's been four in Ring of Honor, this will be number five, they've never been the same. Some for the good, some not for the good. So that's what makes ladder war different. Yeah, part of it is branding. I'm not going to lie. But when you do them as infrequently as Ring of Honor does, and when they are the type of ladder match that you will see, if you've never seen one, you go, hey, man, those other ladder matches, yeah, they were ladder matches. But that, what Ring of Honor did, Jesus, that was a ladder war. And that's what we're going to see with Adam Cole and with Jay Briscoe. No doubt about it.
All right, so we'll stick with the ladder theme from Matt Davis, not via Twitter. He sent me this via message directly. But 20 years ago, Kevin, Shawn Michaels, Razor Ramon, the first televised WWF ladder match. And now 20 years later, here we are, Jay Briscoe, Adam Cole. Any kind of thoughts about that, where we've come in 20 years with that gimmick, just kind of memories of that ladder match?
It certainly was a remarkable match. To me, that was what... where I saw Shawn Michaels in a completely different light from that moment on. And 20 years of change and evolution in professional wrestling, and the pioneers really of that were Razor and Shawn. So it different. And think about this too. They were working in a ring that was like concrete. Because the WWF rings back in the day were extremely hard. They were built around big men, Andre, Bruno, guys like that. They didn't run and jump and fall down a lot. So when you are Shawn Michaels, you know, right around 200 pounds, and you're getting thrown off of, not just off the top rope, but off then the ladder. Oy vey. No wonder why he had back problems. So yeah, that's a career shortener as well, but mainly because of the way the ring was constructed. It was the least friendly ring ever.
All right. From ROH Pittsburgh, any insight you can share about the NJPW deal? How, when, talk started, key people, etc.
So Ring of Honor is partnering with New Japan Pro Wrestling on events on Saturday, May the 10th in Toronto and Saturday, May 17th in New York City. The Hammerstein Ballroom show on the 17th is completely sold out. It's just about, I think, completely sold out for Toronto. There may be a few seats remaining to be determined. This is not something that started, you know, on January 1st or February 1st. This was something that started back a while ago. And I was part of it, you know, a little bit. Basically, this was started well over a year ago. And you started to see the seeds of it being sown when some of the New Japan roster members started to come over and compete in Ring of Honor. And even if it was Carl Anderson, and then it was the Hooligans, and then it was Kushida, there were glimpses of where this relationship was going. And it's so mutually beneficial for both companies. For Ring of Honor, the benefit is that you're partnering with the second largest wrestling promotion in the world, in New Japan. And it's going to open up doors that were before they were unopened. And for New Japan, this helps grow their global brand. This brings their stars to the United States. It puts them in a different setting. It brings them to North America. It eliminates the time differential and the you know, kind of the wall that is built up with Japanese wrestling. These are wrestling stars, no matter the language or the brand or the cultural differences. These guys are stars. Okada and Tanahashi, I mean, they are stars. Jushin Thunder Liger is an absolute legend. If you've never seen Nakamura, your mind is going to be blown. Ghetto and Jado, you're going to see all those guys as well. Plus, you'll see Carl Anderson. Plus, you'll see the Hooligans. Plus, you'll see Kushida. it just, again, everything is culminating in these two events, and that's pretty much it. The conversations that we had with the New Japan office, they were super easy, great people to talk to, and very anxious to make the fans happy, and they take care of their guys. That's the one thing that they do. One of the reasons why they wanted to do this as well, which I thought was just great, was they wanted their guys to get the experience of competing in New York, in Toronto, to give them the opportunity to compete in North America, to see fans in the U.S., to see fans in Canada. That's what, that was a goal for a lot of them personally, so New Japan helped make it happen. And it's very much a very... The guys that go and work there, man, they speak about it like all the time, like how much they love it, and they make good money too, but man, they work hard, but the company gives a lot in return. They really take care of their guys. So these are going to be two mind-blowing events, and May is stacked, and April is stacked, so we've got a lot of good stuff coming, no doubt about it.
All right, we got a few minutes here, so let's do one more from at DMCG4881. Kevin, are you going to try and watch Legends House? And would you ever audition for the show if it makes it to another season?
This DMCG 4881, he's probably a convict. Yeah. He's probably out on work release.
Yes, poor internet.
And they should take away his day pass at the prison. Am I going to try to watch Legends House? Yes.
Yeah. Are you going to be in it? Let's break some news right here.
If I was asked to be in Legends House, I would do it. Absolutely. But you know who should be in Legends House is the real legend. And you talked about him before. 34 years of employment. The great Howard Finkel.
I thought he was in it, isn't he?
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe not.
But if he's there, you know, then that's kind of, he's kind of the announcer. So let's put it that way. You know.
So you would do it, huh?
Oh, sure. Something like that. A fun reality show with a bunch of legends? Yeah. Those guys are a hoot. Absolutely. Now, if they said, Kevin, we'll pay you $50,000 to watch 1 second of Total Divas, I'd walk away from the cash.
Well, you know who does watch Total Divas? Ben Morris and Jen Engel. And they write about it each week on PlayStation.
You know who else is really into it? My boy Steve Carino.
Is, well, see, that doesn't surprise me. Carino knows what's up.
He does know what. Listen, it's just not my thing. I can't watch it. I can't do it. It's like WNBA, right? It's like the women's Final Four. I just can't watch it. I don't know what it is.
Well, let me ask you this: would you rather see this man on Total Divas or on Legends House?
I don't do any tricks.
Oh my gosh, he would be the crossover star.
Yes.
You know, they could have him at first, you know, in the Legends House, and then he goes outside to jump on the trampoline, and then the car full of girls from Total Divas pulls up.
Knocks up Natty.
And they say, hey, sexy, what are you doing there with those weights in your hand jumping up and down? And then what would he say back to them?
I got some cockroaches to kill. But I need to always
be
ready.
He would say, I don't do any tricks.
I need to always be ready. You never know, Kevin, when that phone may ring.
I was slowing down. I'm like, get the line ready. Come on. So the Total Divas pull up, right?
Yeah.
And they see Dennis jumping up and down with the weights in his hands on the trampoline. And they say, hey, baby, what are you doing there on that trampoline? Dennis Stamp says to them,
I don't do any tricks.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
And then Nikki Bella says, Dennis, I want you to referee my WrestleMania match. And he says, where were you 2 months ago when I asked? I've already made other arrangements. I'm going to be in Milwaukee with Zach Gowen. I'm not going to be at WrestleMania. I have other arrangements.
Exactly. I'm going to be in Milwaukee with Zach Gowen, which is where Zach Gowen is going to be this week. He's going to be in Wisconsin.
Yes, he is.
At a great wrestling event.
I just jump. I stay fit. I watch what I eat.
It's the greatest man in wrestling.
You never know when that call's going to come.
He, forget the Andre trophy.
The stamp trophy?
The stamp of approval, baby. That's all you need. That's it right there.
The Dennis stamp of approval. That needs to be, if we ever make Kevin Kelly merchandise, we need the Dennis stamp of approval on the back of the shirt.
Well, listen, we're missing out on, I don't know how many people would buy it, but we could be doing the merch thing right now.
Yeah.
We could be getting sponsorships. We could be getting all kinds
of
stuff.
That's Brad's job. You're going to have a business meeting with Brad. Get him on the horn. He's got a kid coming. You got to get him in now before this happens. You know, we're running out of time quickly.
Yeah, him and Daniel Murphy will be needing 2 weeks off.
Brad gets no paternity leave from PTBN.com. I'll say that much. He'll be in the hospital posting shit. Chad Campbell having a bit. Two of our managing editor, our assistant managing editor, they're both having kids in the next couple months.
I think we got to start looking and trimming back payroll. What's going on here?
Yeah, there's some bloating. We did a little cut. We did a little trimming a couple weeks ago.
Good. How'd that go?
Oh, it was fine. Just delete them off the page, and they didn't even notice. So that's why we run things here.
That's it.
All right. Are you ready for this game?
I love games.
All right. The game tonight, Kevin Kelly, is either or.
Ooh.
So I'm going to give you two things, and you tell me which you would prefer. We'll say let's say that you're going on a trip, and you got to say either or what you're bringing with you or what you're going to do on this trip.
Okay.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Actually, forget the trip things. None of them really play into that. So let's just say what you like, either or. Dr. Pepper or Mountain Dew?
Ooh. This is a... You've spoken to the two sodas that are consumed here in the Kelly household.
Yeah.
Not really.
Okay. Let's say we see it on TV.
Huh?
Nothing.
Shut up. First of all, I drink Diet Mountain Dew, loser.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot better. Listen, this is what you get for making fun of alopecia patients while, you know, me and Ashley poured our heart out. You're making,
no,
you're
I
making
didn't.
Hair
I
jokes.
Just said that you wanted to stick the...
You're making hair jokes. This is what you get.
In your taint because you liked it.
Yeah. Keep drinking caffeine.
Listen, I do love me some Diet Mountain Dew. There's no doubt about it. By the way, I'm down two belt sizes, so suck it. How does that sound?
Congratulations.
Since January.
Very good.
Yeah, thank you. I noticed it today. Like, you know, same pants, same belt, and I was like, hey, wait a minute.
Well, have you washed them? They're not just getting stretched out, are they?
Well, that's kind of the key, isn't it? Yes. You stretch them, some bitches.
I think I lost 5 pounds today, just not through working out in any way.
By the way, I got a line in from... Dan McGinn, that kid. I thought you said you let him go. He sent a note that the Legends House lineup features Gene Okerlund, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Hillbilly Jim, Howard Finkel, Jimmy Hart, Rowdy Roddy Piper, Pat Patterson, and Tony Atlas. So I don't even feel like I'm in their league. Oaks and Fink, are you kidding me? But I would, if given the opportunity, I would appear on that show just to be around those guys, just because of the stories and how much fun it is. So, what a hoot. Absolutely, no doubt about it. But yeah, with Okerlund and Howard Finkel, yeah, please. I'm in the backseat of that car, no doubt about it.
The Ultimate Warrior! Fuck it!
There he is!
The let me introduce Cherry Coke into the mix. Is that rate with you at all?
Yeah, actually, Dr. Pepper's superior to Cherry Coke, and but you know what has made, because it has, like, if I do drink soda now, I'm trying to stay away from like that high fructose corn syrup, so I'm going more the Sierra Mist because it's made with real sugar. At least that's what they put on the bottle. Mm. It could be made with, you know, sewer water and chemicals for all I know, but. I'm trying to do the healthy thing, trying to be more healthy. So I've cut way back on soda. But back in when I was drinking the soda big time, oh yeah, Mountain Dew, winner.
All right. Tag teams. Let's talk tag teams, Kevin Kelly.
Okay.
The Rockers or the Hart Foundation?
The Rockers. Are you kidding me? How is this an either or?
Looks like I gave you two choices and you pick which one you prefer.
Oh, which one I prefer. Okay, I understand.
Either or. Would you pick the Hart Foundation or the Rockers?
I was getting hung up on like both. But no, I'd love the Rockers. Absolutely no doubt about it. And I love Bret Hart. Jim Neidhart for me? Not so much. Not so much.
But he gets hungry and he forgets his manners.
How about that scene when they were at the baseball game in Miami last year? Did you see that video?
No.
It was some independent show and it was a big deal and they did it like at Marlins Stadium. And so they're talking to, you know, it's a reuniting of the Hart Foundation and the local TV's there and they're interviewing Brett and Neidhart is standing to the side and he is tweaking, man. He is, oh my God, what a mess. What a hot mess.
He was at WrestleCon last year with his shirt off for some reason and he's not laying off the Mountain Dew. I will tell you that much.
He's on the Mountain Dew.
He's on a lot of things, including.
He's Mountain on Dew. That's not the least of his problems.
What's your favorite Rockers match?
Opening match to WrestleMania 9. Rockers Orient Express.
No, you're way off. They fought at the Royal Rumble 1991, and that's the awesome match you're thinking of.
Who did they wrestle in the opener at 9?
Neither, because Shawn Michaels was the Heartbreak Kid by then.
I'm sorry. Who wrestled in the opener of 9 is what I mean.
Shawn Michaels and Tatanka.
It was the Royal Rumble 91?
Yep, and then a couple months later, WrestleMania 7, they had a great match with Haku and the Barbarian to open that WrestleMania, which was just fantastic.
It's the Royal Rumble match that I think of. I don't know why I always equated that to 9, but that was it. Because it was the opening match and it set the tone for the whole card. And I always remember that being used as a... Right?
Yeah. You're absolutely right. Like, if there's a match you want to check out, I know you like to troll YouTube for old wrestling, a great Rockers Powers of Pain match from Madison Square Garden in 1990. Just search it out. You'll find it.
Okay.
It's a great match. Also, their match with Twin Towers at WrestleMania 5, one of my favorites.
Well, they didn't have a lot to work with, did they?
Big guy, little guy
match. Yeah, I guess so.
On Akeem?
No. I'm a Midnight Express, Rock and Roll Express guy. You're never going to find two better teams than that. So, but the Rockers were damn good.
All right. Ability to fly or invisibility?
Oh, this is my favorite thing, and I do this all the time.
Really?
When it comes to superhero powers, I think it's one of the great party games that you can ever do.
How about Jim Powers?
Jim Powers is there. He had some powers. There were times that people wished he was invisible. And others where they wished he would fly.
When he went to WCW and was completely juiced out of his fucking mind.
Oh my gosh. Dude, and then I saw him years like after that, and he still looked like fantastic, but massively gassed up. Just huge.
Do you remember that it was at Nitro where they like were building them up from after the Four Horsemen? It was him, Jungle Jim Steel. Who the fuck were the other two guys? And they're running on a beach. Was it Scotty Riggs and Bagwell, maybe? There were four of them, and they were running on a beach with their shirt, and like all this fucking juice started in their mind. It was an awful video to set them up for this big eight-man with the Four Horsemen. But anyway, I digress.
Hey, listen, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to get in the ring. So what was the question? Oh,
invisibility or fly.
Okay. I'm a big fan of flying.
Well, I will assume that,
I love planes.
You're able to do so.
No. Shut up.
All right,
what a jerk.
I'll stop.
I love planes. I want to get my pilot's license at some point in my life and be able to fly my own little Cessnas. So flying for me takes priority over invisibility. However, when I was younger and I was in a state of mind that, you know, mostly kind of aligned itself with like massive depression. I never want to say I was never clinically depressed and diagnosed with it, but man, I was depressed. I would have loved invisibility, and I'd go to the mall and I would try to see how many people I could see that I knew that wouldn't see me. That's how invisible I wanted to be. It's so weird. But flight is the best. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you rather have, if you had your legs removed, would you rather have springs that would allow you the ability to leap, or would you rather have big wheels that would allow you the opportunity to roll very, very quickly?
I'd say roll.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't like springs.
But imagine being able to hop like a kangaroo.
Yeah, they get caught on things, the spring gets hooked on something, you fall in your face.
You're thinking too much into this. That's like saying, I don't want to have the tires, it's the wheels because I get a flat. No.
Well, no, I just imagine they wouldn't be possible to get flat.
We've eliminated all of those possibilities. We've eliminated the potential of you getting hung up on the grass or the pavement or something with the springs. It's completely foolproof. These springs are perfect
for you. Can you just walk normal with them, though? Or are you always bouncing? Because I think I just get a little nauseous always bouncing.
Mm. I think you could walk normally, but there would always be, as they say, a little spring in your step. And you could get from point A to point B pretty quickly. Imagine taking like being a Lords of Leaping. Imagine that guy, right? Imagine the Lords of Leaping at Christmas time if they had springs on their feet. How much better would they be? And how much more would they be worth? 12 days of Christmas just got really super expensive.
Really depressing.
Thanks to KK here.
All right, let's move on, please.
Okay, moving on.
Which Undertaker do you prefer, Kevin Kelly? The Dead Man or the American Badass?
You know, WWE Network, a lot of images are being sent to me now. Oh, look, I saw you on the network. You know, I saw you on the network, and it was a picture of me interviewing American Badass, The Undertaker. That dude was cool. He was really cool. But, you know, listen, long hair, gray makeup, sit up, casket, urn. That's The Undertaker. That's The Undertaker for me. American Badass was great, needed to happen, but old school Undertaker is my Undertaker as well.
Favorite Undertaker, like, supernatural moment?
I'll give you this one, and I think it was, did we do that in Lowell, where we almost put him and Kane together?
Yeah, no. That's where it started, yeah. I think. No, I think Lowell's where Kane beat him down.
No, okay, then that wasn't it, but it was on the road to WrestleMania, when it looked like the two of them were going to get together.
Right.
And Taker gave him the Taker was in the ring and gave Kane the Shakespeare. And then Kane stood on the ramp and blew the pyro.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim Ross, what a moment. I've steal that call all the time. Anytime there's a big moment in Ring of Honor. That gives me chills just thinking about it. Any of those Buried Alive matches? That was some good trickeration. And all the switcheroos with the casket, yep, that was good stuff. The casket's on fire with Kane.
Let me flip this around for you then. Better song for the American Badass version: American Badass, Rollin', or You're Gonna Pay.
Oh, Rollin'. We still sing that here in my older son and I. We still sing that song because that's what he remembers, you know. Because that was when he was like how old was he? Five then. So when he met Taker, that was the Taker that he met.
So even with WWE's favorite band in the world, Limp Bizkit, as they announced them that one time.
What?
I was just watching it. Actually, WrestleMania 19, they play Taker out live, and they introduced them as WWE's favorite band in the whole world, Limp Bizkit.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
All right, what do we got left here? We got three more.
Oh, good.
Mets opening day or WrestleMania?
For what? Misery?
We'll say attend. Which would you rather attend?
Oh, I would rather attend WrestleMania. It stop the pain. It's just torture. I'm a Mets fan. Y'all know that. Man, this is just... Bobby Parnell blows out his elbow the first game. They're talking about 90 wins. Be lucky to get 9 wins. They're going to push the 76ers losing streak this year. They're a joke. They're horrible. Absolutely horrible.
Scott Criscolo has them in the playoffs in his preview on his podcast.
In what year? This isn't 86, brother. This isn't 69, 73. This isn't 2006. They're horrible. They're rotten. The National League East is the worst division in baseball, other than the Nationals.
Mm-hmm.
The Phillies suck. The Braves are going to be middling because they don't, you know, their pitching is, they might be all right. But the Nats are going to run away with it. They'll win the division by 20 games.
All right, we got two more.
Yeah.
Seinfeld or Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Seinfeld. I'm a big Seinfeld guy. I never really got into Curb only because I was too cheap to buy HBO. And this was downloading shows on the internet. So, Curb is good. Everybody that said it is good.
It's really good. It's worth finding a way to watch
it. You know, and now I think if they could find it on, I've got Hulu Plus, I've got Netflix, I could probably seek it out.
Oh, you could probably just borrow someone's HBO Go and watch it there.
Oh, there you go. Well, again, I could do that. I wonder if I know anybody that has that. But anyway, I'm a Seinfeld guy. That's
favorite Seinfeld episode, Kevin Kelly.
I watched it the other night. And it was the one where Elaine was shoving Juju Fruits in her mouth, and her boss had the sneezing fit and sneezes on the Japanese, and this is where she became George, and George became, George went on the up, Elaine went on the down,
and Jerry was even Steven.
That's my favorite episode of all time.
Well, maybe you'll have to join us on, we're going to be doing a Seinfeld roundtable. We're going to do a tournament of all the episodes. a few of us on the show on a podcast soon, so maybe you can join us.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun.
I would love to participate in that.
Awesome. All right, last one. You're loading up the car, you're getting the hoopty. You're going to listen to Drake or Pharrell?
Pharrell on the bench? The sports guy?
No, Pharrell the musician.
I know two songs by Pharrell.
Okay, well, you listen. I mean, there's one right now. This is dominating everything.
I know that new song, mm-hmm. and I know the song that he did a couple of years ago with Snoop. I can't think of the name of it. He was singing. Was it a Snoop song or was it a Pharrell? Was it a Snoop with Pharrell?
Was it Drop It Like a Hot? Was it him?
Yeah, same genre, same time. I think it was a Pharrell song that Snoop appeared on. I liked it though. And Drake, I don't know any of his music. But again, I'm 46 years old.
Oh,
we're not so exactly. We're not talking to the home team demographically.
All right. So, well, let's throw one more last one in here since you blew that one.
Sorry.
Scott Criscolo or Dan McGinn?
I gotta go with Scott Criscolo. Come on.
Oh, poor Dan.
He fought with Glenn Beck over Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I don't know.
You gotta give him that.
I wasn't there. I don't know if it actually happened.
See, now that is a problem. I believe that story. I never doubted it for a second.
No credibility.
I hope Scott doesn't listen to this show this week, but it wasn't me.
He will soon.
Dan's good. He's good. He's a good kid. Good heart. He steals, I think. And
steals paper clips from the PCBN offices.
He's in the office supplies all the time. He's got to stop with this. He's got a problem, and he's going to be and he's got a good heart. I like the young man, but Scott gets the Duke. He's got the experience edge. Come on,
poor Dan. All right, that's it for Either Or. Kevin, did you enjoy that game?
I did. I loved Either Or.
All right. Truth or dare, speaking of Either Or.
Last
time we left you, your dare was to use Hachimachi in your commentary, and I believe you're planning to do that this weekend,
is going
right?
to be in the let me tell you how this is going to go. I'm going to tell you exactly what this is going to be. Super Card of Honor Friday night. You'll be able to see a video on demand. May also be on television as well. We're going to whoop up the crowd. Everybody's going to stand up and cheer. Bobby Cruz is going to count backwards, and everybody's going to go crazy. And I'm going to say something about Super Card of Honor, that there can be only one, and Hachimachi, what a night here in New Orleans. That's my line. I've already got it planned out.
Awesome.
So
I cannot wait. And then when I audio grab it, we'll put it into the open of your show. How about that?
Okay. I love it. So since we have Dare on the lineup, then let's go truth.
All right. Give me your truth.
I'll tell you a truth story about Howard Finkel. And I used to be part of Team Fink in the traveling aspect. And Howard's going to get mad because he listens to everything. He does listen to everything, right?
You tell me the Fink listens to this show?
Fink listens to everything.
I love the Fink.
Okay? He reads everything and he listens to everything. He knows everything that's going on, but he plays dumb. I'll tell you a funny story about Howard Finkel. He would always talk because he had the best of intentions, as many of us do. And we say things like, well, we're dieting, we're trying to lose weight, et cetera, et cetera. Well, anyway, so I think, I don't know if Michael Cole was on this trip, but the early, the incantation of Team Fink was me, Howard, and Michael Cole. It didn't last so long. Cole was the first one to bail because Howard booked us one time to save the company's money. He booked us on like Midwest Airlines or some rinky-dink carrier out of Kansas City, which I think is gone now, and they had one plane. And when that broke, that was it. We were done. And so I was back late from voiceovers, and then they said, maybe you shouldn't travel with Howard anymore. But anyway, so where we were traveling with Team Fink, here's the true story. We pull into a drive-thru restaurant of some kind, McDonald's, Burger King, whatever it was, just to get something to eat. I was kind of dozing off in the car. I was like, I don't know. I'm good. Make coffee. How about a coffee? Yeah, I get coffee. Howard says, I'll have a chicken sandwich with no mayonnaise, no nothing on it. Grilled chicken. Okay, great. And then he pulls up to the window and he looks over and he makes sure that I'm asleep. And when he gets to the window and he says, and can you throw a thing of French fries in there as well? He says to the girl at the window. He's trying to keep it on the down low, so I don't know. So of course, you know, I hear this whole thing because I'm not asleep. I'm waiting for my coffee. But I pretend to be asleep now, and Howard gets the you know, he's eating the chicken sandwich. He's kind of putting that over, and he never benches the French fries. But then every once in a while, he reaches in and he grabs a little handful and he shoves them all in his face really quick, like a little kid. And he's pretending like I'm not watching him eat French fries, and I know the whole time exactly what he's doing. And finally, I said, Howard, why don't you just admit and tell me that you had French fries? I might have wanted some. And he was like, oh, I didn't know. You know, I probably shouldn't have had these. And Howard, who cares? It's a few French fries. It's not going to kill you. My God, stop.
What's the reasoning for them? I mean, what is it really that they stopped using him? It seems so prematurely.
I think it was his look. I think it was his age. I think they wanted to go younger. I think they wanted to present a younger look on television, and they did so. I don't understand why they keep Tony Chimmel.
Right. I mean,
I love Chimmel.
Not exactly an improvement in the looks department.
Exactly. So I don't know.
I mean, I like Justin Roberts. He seems like a cool guy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the Fink should be doing... To me, you have Roberts, and you have Lillian or whoever worked TV, and then you have the Fink do the pay-per-views, or the big ones. Like they used to do with Buffer in WCW, you know? You have Fink do WrestleMania, SummerSlam, or have him come out and do the main events of the pay-per-view. Something.
Completely agree.
Absurd.
Completely agree. So that is that's the truth for this week. A little secret about life on the road with Howard Finkel when he's snitching French fries, and he shouldn't have been.
All right, should
have just been honest. Just be honest, Howard. All right. So Ring of Honor this weekend is Super Card of Honor, and we've got two big events: one on Friday, one on Saturday. The Ilario Center, just outside of New Orleans. Fans, Friday is going to be a tough ticket. There's good seats remaining for Saturday, but Friday is all about Ladder War with Adam Cole and Jay Briscoe. And then there are other great matches Friday night as well, including that no disqualification match with Michael Bennett versus Mark Briscoe, 2 out of 3 falls for the television title with Tommaso Ciampa defending against Jay Lethal. Taven's issued a challenge. He's sick of Truth Martini. So they're going to get it on. I think, yeah, Cedric Alexander wrestles Roderick Strong of the Decade. There is going to be, oh my gosh, I know I'm forgetting something else. Elgin and Steen wrestle. That's going to be tremendous. That's Friday night, jam-packed card, and don't you dare miss it. Saturday, big television taping as well, and then we're gearing up for the May shows. Oh, and we got Future of Honor, too, on the 18th in Newville, Pennsylvania. ROHWrestling.com at the Big Spring Community Center. This is my baby. I want this thing sold out, and it's going to be awesome. In fact, on the next show, we're going to talk all about Future of Honor, too, so they can suck it. And then, of course, we got the New Japan deal. So sandwiched in between Super Card of Honor, WrestleMania weekend, and these two New Japan shows is there's little old Future of Honor on April 18th in Newville, PA. I love it. I think it's great. But that's it. And for all the updates on everything with Ring of Honor, go to ROHWrestling.com. Follow me on Twitter at RealKevinKelly. Follow my boy Steve Carino at KingCarino. Go to WorldOfCarino.com. For merch, including his new 20th anniversary shirt. The more merch you buy, the less he'll have to wrestle, and the more he'll be home with Jordan and Beck. So please do that for me, okay? Thank you. And so that's enough about Ring of Honor. And we wrap up quickly with this edition of the Kevin Kelly Show, now in the books. And I want to thank Dan McGinn and my great producer, Justin Rosero, for doing a great job of getting this show on the air despite technical problems and all the rest. You'll never know it when you hear the finished product. But I also want to thank our two terrific guests, Zach Gowen and Ashley Six, two inspirational athletes and two inspirational men that you want to get to know more about, learn their story, and realize that despite the fact that there are adversarial conditions thrown in your way, despite the fact that things can be in your path that can slow you down, you can continue to fight on, you can continue to overcome, and most importantly, we want to make sure that you always finish strong. We'll see you in a couple weeks here on the Kevin Kelly Show, here on the Place to Be Nation.
And what did you go back for? Juji fruit?
It's not like I went across the street. I bought the juji fruit and I got in a cab.
Why didn't you eat it in the cab?
Because I got popcorn too. I ate that first. Come on, if you feel like a room without a roof. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do.
like that's what you want.